from Little Jackie. That's the working title of a novel I'm working on at the moment. Little Jackie, you might like to know, is not a girl, it's a little boy. And the novel is set in South Africa in the 1930s, early 1930s. And the characters are a Jewish-Lithuanian immigrant family who settle in Cape Town, in a small area of Cape Town called Paro. And it's sort of loosely based on the early life of my father, very loosely based on the early life of my father. His parents owned a general store called Blyman's Handy House, which is quite a nice title. And Blyman's Handy House sold everything from animal feed, shoe leather, to biscuits and biltong. And this, the extract I'm going to read you is chapter 3, and it's actually set in the store. The characters are Little Jackie, his mother, his family, and then some of the customers in the store. Little Jackie was sick. Ma watched him as he squirmed on the bed, throwing off the sheets and kicking out his legs. "What's wrong, little one?" questioned Ma, but her voice was vague and distracted. The new life inside her was ready to burst out. Her stomach rippled and swam with limbs and fists and pain. "Stomachache," said Jackie. "Where does it hurt?" panted Ma, trying to concentrate on his pain, on her pain. Ada had closed the store and caught her bus to Belleville. Pa had driven out of town to buy grain from the wholesaler in Pahl. Little Jackie and Ma were alone. Little Jackie was crying, his vast voice a howl. "It's like a pencil," he said. "It's like an arrow. It's like a knife." "It's like a pencil, a knife, an arrow," thought Ma, as the pain seared through her own belly, as her body fought against itself. And then she was wet with water, a burst dam, water rushing down her legs and pooling on the linoleum by her feet. "Stay here, Jackie," Ma said. "I'm going for help." "Don't leave me alone," Jackie cried, with a knife stabbing me. Ma crawled out the bedroom door, leaving his howls behind. Sitting on the steps, she bumped down one at a time, pausing for breath and to steady herself, waiting for a short moment of relief to start downwards again. She sat on the last step and bit down hard on her lip to stifle the scream that would surely come. She crawled into the store, keeping close to the counter, and edged towards the locked shop door. Little Jackie's cries came echoing down from above, a distant noise in the underwater swell of her pain. At the door, Ma stopped. She tried to raise herself, to open the lock, but with each effort, a new wave knocked her down. She sat with her sweaty brow pressed against the glass to concentrate on the fire, the flames, the searing hot poker that shot through her. She was fire, she was water, she was liquid, molten flame. On the main road, it was quiet. The shops had all closed. It was that time of day when stoves were being lit and husbands were coming home, when children played in the yard and cats and dogs returned to be fed, when mosquitoes began to seek out lamps and the gazanias closed their blooms for the night, when the rubbish lorry had already passed and the main road took on the stillness of a ghost town. Ma looked out and saw no one. She clamped down on her teeth, fighting the next wave, hearing in the distance, many miles away, the sound of Little Jackie crying, "Mama, Mama, Mama." Ma could feel the weight bearing down. She wanted to hold it back, but everything was now beyond rational thought. What she should do, what was for the best, no longer mattered. In a few moments, she would have to give in. She'd be pushing and grunting and screaming to be rid of the heavy load that was tearing her apart. She pressed her hot face against the cold glass and looked out in terror. Pitt Duplessis was strolling down the main road. At 15, he thought himself a real man now and was working on his swagger. Feet splayed, legs stretched wide, swaying hips. He was off to the corner shop to buy an ice and hoping there might be a girl or two there buying ices for themselves. He didn't really mind who it was. Standing close to a warmly perfumed body, the sight of a leg, stocking door bare, or the shape of a body in a tightly fitting cotton frock would be enough for him. Of course, it would be an added bonus if April Fortune were there, though he knew she was much too old for him, or Corinna DeVette, though he knew she was much too young. He was weighing up the merits of every female in his acquaintance one by one when he passed the handy house, all dark and shut up. He was about to walk past when from the corner of his eyes he saw a shifting movement at the bottom of the door. Spot eye the cat, he thought, and carried on walking, lost in thoughts of limbs and breasts and more. There was a knocking sound behind him, small but insistent. The cat, he thought. But then, as he told them all later, something made him turn back. He looked into the darkness of the store and saw nothing. He peered more carefully, nothing. He looked down. There on the floor of the store was Mrs. Newberger, on all fours like a large animal, panting and heaving, her face contorted and almost unrecognisable. Pitt Duplessis didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do, he said later when they asked him. Should I go and run for help? Should I leave her? Or should I break down the door and help her myself? Geez, it was the most difficult decision of my life. Mrs. Duplessis laughed out loud at that. You've had no decisions in your life, Pitt. You're only 15. Shut up, Pitt yelled at his mother, blushing furiously. She was spoiling his story. Anyhow, I decided there and then there was no time for help, so I shouted at her to move away from the door. She dragged herself to one side and I kicked at the door as hard as I could. First time it only shuddered, so I tried again. Second time, no good. Third time round, I hurled myself at it, and what do you know, the lock gave in and I went hurtling in. She was in a bad way. Boy, oh boy, was she in a bad way. Yes, said Ma, I was. And to top it all, I could hear little Jackie up the stairs. He was crying and crying, loud as anything. Anyway, I couldn't leave her lying like that, and she was shouting, it's coming, it's coming. So I ran behind the counter and fetched one of those rolls of cheesecloth, and I rolled it out and I got it under her bum. Excuse my language, Mrs. Newberger. And I did what I've seen him do in films. I said, now take it easy, Mrs. N, and don't you push too hard. Keep breathing, keep breathing. And that kind of stuff. I didn't want to look at what was happening down below because, well, you know. But then she was doing one almighty awful push like there was no tomorrow. And she says, the head, Pitt, the head, you've got to pull. So what was I to do? What did you do? Said Mikey Schwartz, all ears. But Mrs. Schwartz tutted loudly and covered up his ears with her hands. Too young, she said, and kept them there for the rest of the story, with Mikey squirming and struggling to break free. There was no choice. I had to do it. There it was, all bloody and smooth, just coming out. Pitt paused, not for effect, but to hold back the sudden tears he felt coming. I shoved my shirt sleeves up to my elbows and I just took hold of the head. It was warm and soft. I could feel a little pulse beating under the skin. I felt for the edges and gave it a little tug, just a little one, and suddenly everything was out, slipping and slithering like a wet fish. Shoulders and arms and legs and blood and a face all red and cross, like Mr. Kropotkin's on a bad day. Everyone laughed, and Mrs. Duplessis ruffled Pitt's hair proudly. It's good news for some little lady who's going to marry you one day, said Mrs. Mandemerva. No doctor's bills. The shop erupted with hilarity and Pitt blushed from the curl on his head to his toenails. What about little Jackie? Said someone. Ah, little Jackie, said Ma, taking over the story. He was still crying and crying. A pencil, a knife, an arrow, a sword. I sent Pitt up for him and he carried him down and let him lie with me on the cheesecloth bed along with his new little brother. Then Pitt went running for Dr. Meller and found him at home about to start a nice dinner of chicken and dumplings. He wanted to finish the dumplings, Pitt said, but Pitt told him it was an emergency, so he had one last spoonful put on his coat and came. First he sorted me out and had a good look at the little one, counted his fingers and his toes, pronounced us both fine. Then he turned to Jackie. Appendicitis, he said, acute, and he snatched him straight from me, with him howling because of the pain and howling because of Dr. Meller. He never did like him, you know. And off they go in Dr. Meller's car, straight to Para Hospital for an emergency operation. When Pa came back from Pal, I was upstairs in bed with the baby, and no news yet of little Jackie from the hospital. And what does he say? He takes one look at the baby and gives him a lovely kiss on the head. Then he asks me, who in hell has broken down the store door? Because whoever it is going to have to pay for it. They all frown and tut-tut and say, what a shame. And Pitt and Mrs. Duplessis quietly leave the shop and head off home. Mrs. Duplessis vows never to use that man's store ever again. Pitt's decided to stop thinking about girls for a while. He'll concentrate on his studies and on his swimming and high jump for a year or two.